Let's run. Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast. Usual Friday. Hey, what is up everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talk About It Friday. And today I have got Nicole Glozier, my co-host, and we have Penny Hodgson as well. Hey, how are you guys?
Good morning.
Absolutely great.
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, I'm wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about you, Penny.
Well, I am an author from Canada, and I wrote a book called Mind Files that I wanted to give people tools to change their life when they've had, especially for people who've had or suffered some kind of trauma. So I've had a kind of interesting life. I was born with a condition called bilateral hip dysplasia. It was severe. So I've had several orthopedic surgeries, over a dozen, in fact, to keep me walking. And as a child, I was molested and raped. So wow. All of these things kind of happened before high school. And that kind of set a course for decades of anger and resentment and just yuck, you know? So, but I did find my way through it. And I did that using a holistic approach. And so I wanted to write a book to show other people that no matter what's happened to you, you know, we tend to focus on the yuck a lot, and it's our human nature, of course, but you can actually get past it and you can live peacefully and joyfully afterwards. You just have to know how do I do it. And so in Mind Files, I give actual step-by-steps. It's almost a work. The second part of the book is a workbook. So you work through, you literally answer the questions and start to work through whatever it is that you're holding on to from whatever it is, of course, that's happened to you. Because everyone will have their own things that they need to resolve, right?
Yes, definitely. That's absolutely amazing that you're actually letting people get involved in that as well with the questions at the end of the book.
Well, that's part of the know how to do it. You know, when I was struggling and angry and resentful all the time, I wanted to know, what do I have to do to make this stop? Like specifically, what do I have to do? And I'm a very methodical person. You know, I want to know, you know, the steps. And I read a lot of books and I studied for years psychology and sociology. And there's one thing to have the theory in your head and to understand it, but to actually put that into practice is different. And so, but there's a further level that I think, and especially now because we're, you know, people are so divided, and I honestly believe that the part that's missing is the spiritual. I think that people are so lost and feeling alone, you know, and the ritual of a spiritual practice for the most part is gone because we get so busy in our lives and just doing life, if you know what I mean. That we forget that we are spiritual beings. And for thousands of years, people had spiritual rituals. Now, you know, personally, it doesn't matter to me. Part of my book is, because it's holistic, includes a heavy spiritual component. And it doesn't matter what you choose to do in that spiritual component, but you need to reconnect somehow with however you understand God to be. Without that, then it's all just intellect. So we have to, in order to heal, we need to bridge the intellect with our spirit. And then we also have to look after our body, our physical body, because it will show signs from all the stress of whatever's happened to you, because you think about it, your thoughts affect your physical body. Then you have to heal that too. So it really is a balancing act between mind, body, and spirit.
Wow. So when you say ritual, what do you mean by ritual? Because when someone immediately says ritual, you're thinking, oh, okay, this is a bit weird.
Yeah. Well, you know what? A ritual is like yoga, right? So a ritual is just something that you do each day. Brushing your teeth is a ritual. So a lot of times it's how we understand what these words mean. And does the word have there's an exercise in my book about that, actually. So when you think about ritual, a lot of people in their mind right away have this probably picture of, you know, I don't know, somebody sacrificing a chicken or something. You know, that's not.
Well, yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah, you know, because it holds a negative connotation. A lot of times from movies, right, where we get this ideas, where we get them from, because our mind's process doesn't know the difference. But a ritual is just something you do every day. So maybe you go for a walk every day. That's a ritual. Maybe you walk in silence. That's a ritual. However you connect to whatever it is that you understand God to be, right? Because everybody can have, you know, everybody has their own definition of what that thing is. But it can be running, it can be exercise, it can be meditation, it can be, you know, riding your bike. I go out into, well, I meditate, but I also, when I get really freaked out and I feel lost, then I go out. I live close to the Rocky Mountains here in Alberta, Canada. So I go out into the mountains and I'll go by a river and sit by the river in nature and just be silent. And when I'm in nature, then I feel like I connect better. So it's just, what can you do that puts your mind in silence to allow you to connect? That's what I mean by ritual. It's just a ritual is a habit. Right. Yeah. And then once you start that, then you can go in deeper and, you know, do conscious meditation. But you have to start somewhere. So maybe that's with a walk. But then through conscious silence or meditation, whichever word you want to make that be, you can intentionally connect to whatever it is that's you understand to be bigger than you and collect wisdom from it.
Yes, definitely. I totally agree. I'm on a spiritual level myself as well, because I've been brought up with all of that. And I connect with, like, going for a shower. I love having a shower and having that water drift over me and washing all the negative away from that day.
Yeah.
That's how I connect with, like, cleaning my soul. So.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah, and you can definitely hear the strength from your hard times, and it's definitely shining through, so it'll definitely help others.
Well, I hope so.
Of course, it will.
Yeah.
So what else are you thinking of doing with your books? Are you thinking of doing any more, or...?
Well, we'll see how this book does. I did have kind of an idea of doing... Inside the Mind Files. So going specifically, this book, Perception, Perspective, and Problems, is just kind of an introduction to the idea. Yeah. And I just use the filing cabinets of your mind as a way to present how things happen in our mind's process. And then a follow-up would be inside each mind file. So specifically, how do we deal with shame? And specifically, how do we deal with resentment? And specifically, how do we deal with anger? And yeah. And specific examples of, you know, things that I've worked with my clients with. So I do work with people one-on-one through video.
Oh, nice.
Like online video. So it's kind of international, and it's interesting. You know, we think that people are so different, but they're not. The core part of who we are is the same. We just, the way that we experience something is of course unique to you, because no one lives
definitely.
Your life except for you, right?
Yeah, this is true.
But the core of it Well, that's what they're called, archetypal wounds, right? The core of it is the same, but it's how it's expresses that's different. So, in the next one, that's what I would try. You know, I would do my best to try to address the however many ways I could think of that that would kind of get every kind of experience possible, you know, to that one core wound.
Yeah, definitely.
So would you say that this is kind of coaching, did you say?
Well, yeah, I'm actually UK certified as a therapeutic counselor.
Oh, wow, that is absolutely awesome.
And I'm also certified in natural nutrition through a Canadian school here.
Oh, nice.
I mean, we really are interconnected. So I use nutrition just to see how bad out of balance is your body, because when our emotions, if you can think of us as an isosceles triangle, you know, each area supposed to be equal, right? Mind, body, spirit. It's impossible. We can't do that anyway, but we can, you know, work to get everything in balance to the best that we can do that. But usually our emotions will be, you know, 100, 80%, our spirit might be 10%, and our body might be 10%. So we have to try to get our body, you know, at least better. And it's the stress, really. You get high blood pressure and diabetes and migraines and fibromyalgia. Oh man, the list just goes on and on, right? So we, and if your body's sick and you're hurting, you can't get your mind, you can't focus, right? Because you got to get rid of the pain. You have to deal with that. So it's a combination usually of doing both. And a lot of that is sometimes it's supplements. Sometimes it's just really changing your diet and providing your food, providing your body with nourishment and not so much junk. And you know, and then once you do that, things kind of start to level out, and then you can focus on working through your emotional issues.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we have to slowly but surely, you know, get that spiritual part of us so that we're connecting. You know, if we think of inside of us, there's that thing that I call our spirit. You know, it's that instinct, you know, that alerts you, oh, I don't think I should go there. And you know, we, whatever you call that thing, your instinct, your spidey sense, whatever you wanna, you know, I call it your spirit. And
Yeah,
that thing
definitely.
is connected to, you know, something much bigger. So if we can get to the point where in our emotions we're ready to connect with our spirit, you know, it's a long process, right? It's not something that you can
I
do in a week.
understand.
Yeah. So it's one at a one thing at a time, and then bring them together.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you say you've had trouble walking growing up.
Yeah.
So how's that going for you now?
Well, I've had just recently, actually, I went through another round of reconstructive surgery. So basically, I was born without hips. Like, if you can imagine the hip socket, I didn't have that. So
Ouch.
they had to, so when I was a kid, I kind of rolled around. Like, I walked really horrible. So they, but back then, they didn't know how to fix it. I mean, I'm old. Haven't, and they just had no idea. So the first several surgeries really were, you know, experimental, and they just did nothing. But they were extremely traumatic because I was young, right?
Yeah,
And they
definitely.
told me that I would be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, which, I mean, I'm still walking and I'm, you know, in my 50s, so I get, that turned out not to be true. But it really was. When you're a little kid, you don't have the capacity to understand really, right? You just get scared. And it was a big fear because my parents were scared. You see, so my fear was even in, more intensified because I could clearly see my parents were scared. So it was distorted in my mind right from the get-go. But then each surgery, like didn't work. And in those days, of course, they did things different. They did, like, you spent months. I would live in the hospital as a kid.
Yeah.
Because they did traction and things, right? But now, in the 90s, actually, there was a Canadian doctor in Toronto, which is, you know, a long ways away from here, but he invented a surgery where they used part of your leg bone to create a hip socket.
Oh, wow.
And somehow position it on the side of your pelvis that would work. And I was really lucky. I was, because he agreed to take me as a patient, and I was in my 30s.
Aww.
So I flew out to Toronto and he did the surgery. They didn't know how long it would work for, but I was pretty close to 20 years out of them. So they had to do both sides. And so he did, I think that, let me think what year that was, in the early 90s, 94 and 98, I believe. And then just in 2011, 2010, I guess, my left hip started to deteriorate really rapidly. So I had to go for more surgery. But this time, of course, because I'm older, I got really sick, really sick. And I couldn't understand what is going on. But when I went to the doctor, he's like, no, you know, your blood tests are all fine. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, man, I'm sick.
It's, you know, I know that one.
And he's like, no, you're, and I, so that's really why I had to do a deep dive into alternative medicine.
Yeah.
Because I needed to fix me. Right. So I studied that for 4 years. I was really heavily, and I still do actually, but more so the emotions. But without that, I honestly, I would not be here talking with y'all today. Like, I was really, really sick. So I think we need to balance how we look at medicine too. I don't know what it's like in the UK so much, but here,
it's not great here.
Like, are people more open to holistic approaches of medicine?
No, not really. It's quite hard here because obviously I've just recently gone through a trauma myself. I had emergency spinal surgery.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and it took me 6 months to learn to walk again myself.
Oh, what happened?
It's a long story, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing a podcast on that.
Yeah,
sometime.
I'm gonna explain it soon, so hopefully you'll be able to have a listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this one's about you today.
Absolutely. I did want to ask a question because, you know, you said that you've been writing books, you know, about your past and stuff. What is the? Do you get, you know, really bad feelings when you're writing it?
You know, I don't. It was, some of it was cathartic, I think. I had, before I wrote the book, honestly, I'd worked through pretty much everything. But as I was, because there isn't a lot of my personal experiences in there. I mean, I talk a little bit about it, and that has honestly been, a lot of people have said to me, why didn't you write more about it? And honestly, in my mind, I was like, well, because this is about how do you get better, you know, like it wasn't, let's all share in the pity party of all the horrible things that happened to Penny, you know, it was, here's what you can do. Yes. All these horrible things happen, but hey, you can love life again. You can be, you know, live joyfully, and here's how you do it. And, you know, so that's kind of, it was more about that, but I'll tell you leading up to it, I mean, the rape was probably the last thing, because, you know, forgiveness is really what you need to do, right? To let it all go. And that was the last one. But you find that it's a pattern, right? Like, so in my particular life, men were a big issue for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to kind of sound really out there, but I was a big fan of Carl Jung always. And how he approached things. You know, he used in his practice astrological birth charts. And when I was in my 20s and I learned that, I thought, well, that's really kooky. Why would he do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But in my 40s, when I revisited it, I was like, okay, why did he do that? There must have been a reason.
Yeah.
So I did mine. I dove into a little bit, not a lot, but I dove into psychological astrology. And I found that my birth chart in it, it said, this was one of your spiritual life lessons. See how everything kind of joins? So one of them was going to be how to learn to overcome adversity with men. So I was like, well, that's, so it was a theme through my whole life. So it started, I learned through my healing process way back that it started as a little kid. But in my intellectual mind, I thought it started with the surgeries. You see, these doctors.
Yeah.
Told me, oh, I can help you, but then they didn't. And not only did they tell me I can help you and they didn't, one said, oh, no, I've done this surgery before. We found out later that he'd never performed. He was reading out of a textbook.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Like he'd never actually, I can laugh now, but let me tell you, I was not laughing back then.
No, I wouldn't have been.
No, I wouldn't either. You know?
Wow. And so I was really angry. And then every surgeon afterwards would say, you know, what did he do? Because you were so messed up, you know, and the anger of the betrayal. So at the bottom line, the core issue was betrayal, right? I put my trust in him and I felt he lied to me. And I mean, all the doctors were male.
Yeah.
So then, you know, a male family member begins molesting me when I was 10. A male dad, you know, raped me when I was babysitting. So before I finished high school, let me tell you, I hated all men, right? Like,
I'm not surprised.
But I convinced myself that I didn't.
Yeah.
Right. So you kind of have this layer of, well, no, I don't. But my true energy going out into the universe was like, oh, yes, you do. You know, like, so I was inviting every jerk that you could possibly find into my life unknowingly. So I was constantly, you know, in a battle with men until I finally said, well, how do I this got to stop. Mm. This has got to stop. You know, my first marriage was to an addict who was emotionally abusive. So I spent 15 years married to him. You know what I mean? Like, you just invite all these things into your world. And I just was like, oh, this, how do I stop this? I'm done doing this and I need to know what to do.
Yeah.
So Mindfiles kind of came from when I sat at the end of all of it and I said, well, how did I do it? You know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
How did I get past it? What were the steps I took? And then that's how I wrote Mindfiles. It wasn't about specifically all the things that happened to me. It was what did I do? And kind of in what did I do, of course, that spanned probably 15 years, right? So I had to think way back. Well, what was the very first thing I did? Well, it was realizing that I was numb and opening up my feelings again. So that was the very first thing I did. So the first exercise in the book is that, right? Then, well, what was the next thing I did? Well, mm-hmm. I had to look at, well, how did I understand things? Oh, okay. Well, systematically break that down. How does that work? Well, so I understood that, you know, and that's where really I came from. How did I write it?
Wow, that's incredible. Honestly, you know, we just want to say thank you ever so much for giving this opportunity to interview you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for
having me. You're absolutely welcome. Is there anything that you want to, you know, get across to the audience now?
Sure. Anyone who's interested in learning how they can help themselves can find Mindfiles. All the links are at mindfiles.ca. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, Google Books, Kindle, Kobo, pretty much everywhere. And if anyone's interested in personal consultations, again, I'm UK certified therapeutic counselor. You can go to Kyron's Way Consulting.com. So Kyron is Chirons Way Consulting.com. And you can find me there.
Wow. Thank you ever so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for allowing me to introduce myself to your audience. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Talk About It Friday.